Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker. And now up on TSN 2, Brian Hayes, Jonas Siegel from the Athletics in here. Jamie Noodles McLennan, the O-Dog, is off doing panel work tonight and setting the scene for the Stanley Cup playoffs, which has already started.
Right.
If the regular season continues with a couple more games between Vancouver and Calgary. But up here in Canada, it's Winnipeg-Edmonton on Wednesday night, and then the Leafs-Habs on Thursday night, game one right here on TSN 1050. And Ray Ferraro will join us here in just a moment.
Let me ask you, if you could go back now, I don't know, are you guys playoff pool people?
Sometimes.
I am, yep.
Okay, have you done yours yet?
I was supposed to. I got locked out. I missed it. So, no.
Okay, so say you could go back, you know, tonight or tomorrow, before the Leafs started or before Edmonton-Winnipeg starts, and you could go back and choose some players. Like, would you choose Kyle Palmieri? Would you choose, like, Cam Talbot? You know what I mean?
Of course.
Like, would you kind of be greasy and kind of backdoor your way into a couple wins?
I think going with Tampa players would have been smart, regardless
right.
of the timing. Regardless of, you know, taking Braden Point and Kucherov, probably a smart play. But,
right.
yeah, it's tough to get a read on that because it's one game, you know. It's
right.
like it's such an overreaction to an extent. It's an overreaction to, wow, I can't believe it. Now I'm going to extrapolate that and try to figure out what it means for the rest of the series. I'm not sure how to get a read on one game, but I thoroughly enjoyed them all. You know, it was awesome hockey throughout the weekend. And I expect it to continue tonight.
You're right. I just had to readjust. Like, I was looking at goaltenders and some of their numbers and stuff, and then – you know, kind of one storyline that we haven't even gotten to, like Craig Anderson is all of a sudden playing in net.
How many people in Canada were shocked that that guy's still in the National Hockey League, let alone
I knew he was on there. I mean, I knew he was.
Of course, you would know that, but I'm talking the average fan. Average fan walking around. How many people would know? And to his credit, he held on for dear life because that's what it was. It was a little bit sticky at times and picked up a win on Saturday night.
But that's the thing. Like, he's coming 40 next week. So just look at, like, Craig Anderson, the fortunes of the Washington Capitals are on a 40-year-old's back. Edmonton Oilers, the fortunes of the Edmonton Oilers are on a 39-year-old's back. Like, you just called it the inspiration line. Like, I wouldn't say that the Leafs' fortunes are on that fourth line, but, you know, maybe inspirationally they are. Like, there's some old guys in the league that have had great seasons. Like,
yep.
Mike Smith's had one of the best seasons as a 39 years old.
Well, Noodles, like, I wanted to ask you, how many teams do you think actually have zero questions about their goaltenders? Like, we know this guy. Like, if we're going on a run, it's this guy.
Well,
I think it's like only two. I think it's like Winnipeg and Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to go. Well,
is there anyone else? Tristan?
Okay, would you say, like, Grubauer is a question mark because he hasn't proved it, but, like, he's their guy. He's their guy.
He's like, also been hurt a lot.
You're right. You're right. You know, I guess Mike Smith would be one. UC Saros.
No,
though,
Mike Smith can't be one.
I mean, a guy that you, what, he's our guy?
Like, for sure,
guy.
Like, you know, I don't know. Do you know for sure, like, Mike Smith is, I know he's had a good year.
But that's what, all I'm talking about is, like, what we're talking about is this year. Like, I don't think the Edmonton Oilers are going, well, there's a back-to-back scenario against Winnipeg. We got to get Koskinen in a game. Like, it is Mike Smith or bust, if you ask me, in Edmonton. Like, you know, Koskinen statistically leading up to his last two starts, he was good in his 12 games. But the last two games, he's looked like me in the net. And that's not good. You know, like against Vancouver the other day, there was 1-1 heading in the third period. All of a sudden, he's... you know, he fell apart. And then the game before, he allowed 4 goals on 4 shots against Vancouver. And
not good.
Yeah, that's
good. I think what you're asking, Jonas, is how many teams can actually feel confident.
Yeah, like sometimes I think like in Toronto, we make this out to be this unusual situation. Maybe it really isn't unusual at all. Maybe it's just every team, basically the other guy could be starting in 3 days.
Well, take 30 seconds of your time and I'll go. Okay, so I've just got the guy, like Winnipeg, yes, Hellebuck. Tampa, Vasilevsky. St. Louis, Bennington.
Okay.
Correct?
I'll give you that, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so then Colorado, Grubauer, yes or no?
Half.
Half, okay.
Half.
Hayes, you're half?
Yeah, I'd go half.
P- Pittsburgh, Jerry.
No, I don't feel overly confident, but he's going to be the guy. They're not replacing him. I don't think so anyway. I mean, maybe DeSmith would go in, but yeah, okay, continue.
Right. I mean, Vanacek obviously injured, so you got Craig Anderson. So you're like, you know, I mean, this list is long, and I.
Well, just give us like Carey Price would be the guy where if he's healthy and playing, he's playing.
But right, Tuukka Rask?
No.
Yes, he hasn't been playing. Yeah, but I still have faith in Tuukka. I mean, Vegas has two guys.
What I was saying. Fleury and the other one is UC Saros.
He's like, been so good under the radar.
He's got Vezina numbers.
Yes.
Like, legitimately Vezina numbers.
Right.
But you're right. There's Chris Drieger, there's Bobrovsky, like Nedeljkovic or Mrazek, you know, Samsonov or Craig Anderson. Samsonov, I don't think it was available. That's why Anderson went in.
That's right.
There's
a separation between number one in tandem, but then within that, hey, he's the number one and he's going to be our guy. That doesn't mean that there's an uber amount of confidence.
Correct.
You know, like that, and that I think is what you're driving at here is like,
right.
There are guys where you're like, he's playing, of course he's playing, but I don't know what we're going to get. But that's different from it's a tandem and we might switch.
Yeah.
You know, there's three layers, I think, to the goaltending scenario.
Agreed.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. Pretty good weekend, I would suggest. Pretty good first impression of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Man, that was awesome, wasn't it? It was so cool. And I don't know, Noodles, I don't know if you have ever or have thought this. And hey, Jonas, how are you, by the way?
Hi, Ray.
I think I took for granted how much the fans mean to the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it, and I'm like, you know, since we were in junior, Noodles, like every game we played, there were thousands and tens of thousands of people there. There was it was always there, and then they're not. Yeah. And I was like, damn, I don't think I understood what it means to have the people and their passion and their craziness and all of that in the building. Because the Vegas in particular, Vegas and Florida games, it felt like they were in a football stadium. Like, it was awesome. And I you know, the guys were feeding off it. It was great stuff to watch.
It was so, you know, for me, I was taken back. I was jealous. I had all these range of emotions going through my body because I was like, this is unbelievable. Like, I wish I was there. And then the crazy Jamie in me was like, would I be wearing a mask? Would I be wearing gloves? What would I do? You know, like the crazy Jamie is like, oh, like, would I be sitting? Like, how would I react in that environment right now? Because, you know, we've been shut down here for 15 months.
Oh, you're talking about being a fan. I was thinking, oh man, I can't believe I used to do this. I'd love to do it. And then the first guy got hit, and I'm like, fuck, are you kidding me?
Right. The players. The players. I think even just view it, like, I couldn't be in the building anyway. I'm in Toronto, right?
Right.
But just
the
viewing experience, I thought, was elevated significantly. And I do think what is going to equal this all out is how connected we are to the Canadian series, right? Like, Leafs Habs going to be awesome. It's going to be emotional for people up here. Same thing with Edmonton, Winnipeg, with or without fans. We've been through it. We're accustomed to it. But I don't think in any other year I would be so fired up to watch the other series south of the border. And I think what's dragging up my level of interest, which is still there, and it's significantly there because it's the playoffs, is that fan element. You know, like, you guys look at it as, wow, players, how cool would that be? I look at it as just a guy on the couch who's like, man, it's different. It feels different. It looks different. It sounds different.
Well, Ray and Noodles, you guys can speak to this. I can tell you, as, like, just walking in as a media person, it drains you when you get into the building and it's just empty. Like, it's a 20,000-seat place and there's no one in there. And I can imagine for a player, it's just, like, very jarring. They're probably used to it now, but it's not the same when you go onto the ice for the pregame warm-up and there's nobody. It's weird. Like, I don't know.
I've actually been quite impressed, even back to the bubble last year, guys, of how the guys have played at the level they've played when there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Like, I think of it like a, I mean, obviously it was more important and all that, but like a training camp scrimmage. Somebody scores, of course, we didn't have the horn going off, but like somebody scores and like there's nothing.
Yeah.
Like there's a big hit, and all you hear is the guys, you know, hooting and hollering on the bench. I think I was just surprised with what a difference it all made, because the hockey yesterday, this weekend, was phenomenal.
I agree.
It was awesome to watch.
Do you think, go around the table here, do you think that Florida-Tampa game would have that much vitriol if there wasn't 9,000-10,000 people in there? Like, I think they legitimately hate each other and everything on the line, but don't you think the crowd adds a little bit extra to that jam?
I think it speeds it up. I think they probably would get there, but it speeds it up. Like right away, that thing was off the rails.
I know.
And those are the best games, right? Like, everybody's holding on by a thread to their composure. And then somebody loses it and takes a penalty. Then there's another penalty. There's a couple of goals. There's another hit. Like, it's, I don't know. I think it accelerates it more than anything.
I totally agree, and I think we witnessed that in a couple of different games over the course of the weekend. And yesterday in particular, I saw this tweeted out. Stats by Stats had this out, that there were 17 goals scored in the Stanley Cup playoffs yesterday. Every one of them either tied the game or put the Shooters team in front. That's the most goals scored on any single day in Stanley Cup playoff history, in which every one was a game-tying or go-ahead goal. That probably helps. Too.
Yeah.
In terms of the intensity and being every game was close, you know, and lead changes, that is what makes a great sporting event. We can talk about everything possible, fans, talent, intensity. Lead changes means I don't know how this is going to play out, and my emotions are running wild here because I'm going up and down, up and down. And the Florida-Tampa game is a perfect example of that. Florida comes out, steals the lead early, and then Point ties it, and then Point steals it, or felt that way anyway, and you're like, what the hell just happened? What was that? And it was just incredible because of that part of the context, the fact that the games were that close and there were so many lead changes.
They were just, like, you guys know I love goals. I mean, the Vegas-Minnesota game, like, there's not many 0-0 games I'm entertained with. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, that was, you know, I mean, it looked like the game was going to be over early, you know, because Vegas, what, they have 20 shots in the first period, and Talbot hangs them in there. And then after that, like, if Fleury's not great, Minnesota wins that thing.
Yeah.
And he, like, how about the save he made on Kaprizov? Does he have a skeleton, Fleury? Like, it's like he just, like, Gumbies himself around in there. It's like, it's amazing to watch, still at it. Right? Like, that was another game that I was casually watching it, I guess, and then I'm just drawn into it.
Well, actually, Brian brought a great point up, and you just verified it. You know, Cam Talbot got a shutout and made 40 saves, right?
Right.
Everything's about Fleury. Everything. Like, he lost the game to the other guy who had a shutout.
And who was, like, to your point, made 18 or 19 saves in the first period. The shots were like 18 or 19 to 6. And Talbot stands on his head. They're like, what do you think of Fleury's glove save?
Yeah.
Like, it's so true. Like, Talbot was brilliant yesterday.
Talbot's down the other end doing jumping jacks. Hey, could somebody just notice me down here?
Right. Whenever you're ready, so the cameras funny. Can, you can focus on me as well. But yeah, it was a wild weekend. And we talked about, you know, where the Leafs come into play in terms of watching it over the course of the weekend. There's a couple of things that stood out to me. In the Tampa-Florida game in particular, at some point your big boys have got to just close it for you. Like, Point and Kucherov did it again yesterday. They picked up right where they left off. They were the two best forwards throughout the run last year. And Point in the third goes, I'm not letting this get away. And at some point, Matthews and Marner have to do that, like your best players. And it's not that they won't or aren't capable of it, but it has to happen. And also, I looked at the physicality of the game yesterday, the intensity of it all, and I think there's more of a discrepancy between these two teams, Toronto and Montreal, in terms of talent, maybe even in terms of expectation. Like, Florida finished ahead of Tampa in the standings. They're a good team. But I feel like as we get closer to this, there's going to be somewhat of a push externally, I don't know if it's going to happen internally, where the Leafs should just stay out of the after-the-whistle stuff, you know, just play your game, quote-unquote, I think they need to be proactive. I think you go out and be the aggressor. I think you go and hit. I think you know this time of year they're calling coincidental minors. If they punch you, punch them back. Like, don't
okay,
think.
So hey,
that'd be my stance.
In 1986, 100 years ago, I was in Hartford our first playoff year. We beat Quebec in the first round, lost to Montreal in game 7 in overtime. The next year we won the division. And Quebec, we were playing them in the first round again. And they let it be known that they thought they could be physical with us. And I'll tell you, we showed them how tough we were because we were in the penalty box 100 times and they beat us in 6 games. You can't shy away, but you got to be who you are. Like, do you want Matthews running around throwing hits?
No, I don't need that. But I do want, like, well, if it's going to get intense, then you have to match.
Go score. Stick your nose in there. Get in the net. Like, don't get pushed to the outside. Dive inside the dots.
Yep.
That's tough. It's hard. Because if you try to, this is what I learned in that series. We tried to be something we weren't. And we took a bunch of retaliation penalties. We took a bunch of goofy roughing penalties. And they beat us.
Well, and Ray, toughness is what you're talking about. Toughness is William Nylander. He's not going to be tough by doing what Brian's saying. He's going to be tough by winning a battle.
Right. Well, I'm not suggesting starting a line brawl when the puck drops on Thursday. I'm saying, again, like, coincidental minors get called a lot. We saw yesterday. Like, the Barkov coincidental was ridiculous, quite frankly. But that's what I'm saying. Like, if they're gonna pop you, pop them back.
Well,
don't sit there
early
and say, we'll beat you on the power play. Like, I think over the course of the round, that's going to get to you. And then you are going to get flustered. Like, if they're going to try to play that game, and I don't know if Montreal will. I don't know how Montreal is going to approach it. But I would suggest the intensity is going to rise. I mean, you would know that, right? Like, it just naturally gets there. And you got to kind of rise with it. And I think if you're at the forefront of it, or at least balanced, then you can scratch that off and say, hey, listen, we were right there with them in terms of whatever game you want to play. And then when it shakes out, we're better than you, so we're going to hammer
it
home.
But that's what they brought these guys in for.
Yeah.
Right? That's what Simmons is there for. Thornton to a certain extent, but Foligno, you've got Hyman.
Yep.
Bogosian
plays.
Those are what those guys, that's one of their assets they bring to the table. So they're going to play that way anyway, because that's part of their toolbox. For the other guys, I would want them to, you know, to acknowledge how tough the playoffs are. Here's the difference. They've already been through it, so they know it as opposed to wonder about it. They have to know that Montreal is going to try to be really physical with them, even to the extent of Montreal's lineup that doesn't have Cole Caulfield in it. To me, it's like they're looking about how can they match up, how can they take away Toronto's top two lines, how can they grind those guys down. And Caulfield isn't going to start game 1, it doesn't look like.
Yeah, that's surprising to me. I mean,
that's a lineup philosophy. Like,
right.
In my opinion,
right.
In my mind, it's reactive, not proactive, but that's the way they're going to choose to go about it, at least for the first game.
Yeah. I mean, I thought about that too. I don't know how you guys feel. Like, I mean, they still have a couple days to start maneuvering things around. Like, I would have him in there personally, but I just don't know what the philosophy is. If they feel like he'd be overwhelmed, or you're going to try and establish physicality, all of that type of stuff. Like, there's no, you know, to me, you've got to find a way to put him in there, especially if your power play, even to put him in there for power play minutes. Like, that guy's it looks like he's going to be a hell of a player. Like, he looks like a special player. Now, you know, can he achieve that at 20 years old right now in his first taste? They probably want to protect him a little bit, but I'd throw him to the wolves and see how he fares.
But Noodles, I think that, honestly, I mean, this is just my opinion. I think the reason that doesn't happen is because they're looking at more of a defensive posture. They're worried about the matchups against Matthews and Tavares' line.
Yeah.
And Caulfield doesn't – that's not what he's there for. I think they might get into a point of the series that we see him where they say, you know what, we do need a little more. We need a little more juice. But it's not there, right? It's not there at the start. Their view has to be, and I'm just by the lineup, is that they want to grind this series down.
Right. Yeah, that's how they have to.
I think
they got to play that.
Exactly what I understand the logic. It'll come down to Gallagher as well and Price, who I believe are playing today, right? They're in Laval today, which I think is a smart play. Like, I was a bit surprised by it, but get them a little bit of some game action, make sure they're feeling okay as much as possible. But, you know, if you want to play that style, if you want to grind, if you want to, you're going to have Carey Price clearly playing at 100%. But you got to have Weber playing and you got to have Gallagher. Those two are kind of going to lead the charge in that capacity.
Sure. You also need to know. Now, during the regular season, I just did a thing for the preview show. Like, during the regular season, Danault played Matthews 73 minutes straight up and got outscored 3-2.
That's pretty good.
Like, that, they need that type of closeness in that matchup. And so that's, I mean, that's one of the ways they're looking at it for sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. Like, if you're Montreal, you have to have that type of mindset. You know, take it to the ground, you know, get in the muck, gotta, you know, play a little bit like Minnesota in 2000. We, like us, is just close the neutral zone up, frustrate top players, and hope that your goaltender can give you, and then special teams, like, you know, grind out wins. You're going to have to do that. The challenge is to what you're saying, Ray, is stay out of the muck if you're the Leafs. That way you can go on the power play, and I know the power play has been anemic, but it's got to be a difference maker. To be honest, that's the one thing I would circle. I know we're looking at Jack Campbell and you know, the uncertainty in net, but their power play has to get going. Special teams win in the playoffs. They're the difference in the playoffs.
Look at Tampa yesterday. Yeah,
put it this way. They might be fortunate that Montreal's power play is every bit as anemic.
Right. No, you're right.
Right, like eventually you got to untrack that thing, but, man, I'm not betting the house on it to get started, that's for sure.
What about Edmonton, Winnipeg? You know, I think we have a pretty good read on the philosophies of the Leafs and what we just talked about with Montreal and how they believe they have to approach it. What about that series and what you would expect the kind of elements of friction to turn out to be? You know, like where it could pop up in terms of X factors and breaking points and how the series could play out?
Well, I think the Jets have to be, you know, have to be really good. Have a really good forecheck. I think they need to play in Edmonton's zone, even if they're not scoring, but hold the puck down there. Make McDavid and Draisaitl chew up some minutes while they're chasing the puck around, or better yet, don't have it on their stick. I've described them, their defense as kind of like a boxer that takes body blows. Like, they don't really stop anything. They don't really, like, break up and kill cycles. They just kind of take body blows, and Hellebuck is great, and, you know, and that's how they win on the defensive side. The problem with taking body blows from McDavid and Draisaitl is eventually they hurt. And, you know, this year it's not like McDavid averaged 2 points a game. He got 2 points a game against the Jets.
Right.
In every game he had at least two points. That meant, you know, obviously, the Jets started each game down 2-0. Like, how are you going to win against that? The whole focus is keeping McDavid and Draisaitl without the puck as much as you can.
Do you try and match, Ray? Like, do you try and do that third line? Because, like, okay,
problem with that, Noodles, then you know what happens, right, is McDavid's out there 24 minutes, and so Adam Lowry's tongue's hanging on the ground because he's chasing him around for that long, and you've got Scheifele sitting over there.
I think
10-12 minutes with Lowry, you know, 7-8 minutes with Scheifele, you know, 3 or 4 minutes with Stastny. Like, I think you got to use everybody in it, but to impress upon them, when you're out against him, we don't really care if you score. We're trying to break even.
Yeah. It's funny. I would almost, if I'm Winnipeg, I'd be watching some of the games the Habs played against Edmonton, where McDavid and Draisaitl were literally running around chasing that Dano and you know, punching Lekkonen in the head and taking penalties where Montreal was underneath their skin, and they would get away from their game.
Well, the one difference I would say, Noodles, to that, like, I hear you, and you're right, they did drive them crazy, is when they got into the zone, the one thing that Montreal's defense is big.
Right.
And, like, you run out of room in a hurry. Like, Edmonton's big. Edmondson is big and long, and Petrie is like that, and Weber's a giant. Sherratt's a big guy. So, like, it, they found a way to keep those big guys in the middle of the ice to push the play around, and then they just kept running into them and frustrating them. And Montreal did it as well as anybody.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Well, we'll find out in a couple of nights. We've got three more games tonight. Boston, Washington, game two. We're already into game two, and Vancouver and Calgary have two games left for the regular season.
By the way, I guess I wasn't half paying attention, but when Vitasek went down in the Washington game and they go over to the bench, I'm like, whoa, that's Craig Anderson.
Right.
Like, that's what Hayes said.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
Where has he been? And I'm like, that poor guy's been on the taxi squad all year. Yeah. What's he played, two, three games? He did great. He did great in game one.
Got them the win. He held on. I mean, that's all you could ask for out of a situation like that. And I don't – is Samsonov – is he going? Because I know he got the go-ahead. Like, he's off the
COVID. I don't know. Are those guys in from curfew yet? Or, like, what's going on with
like,
those guys?
I'm not sure.
You know what's crazy about that? It's like – Washington's had like a crazy year. Ovi and Kuznetsov and Samson, like those guys, they break protocol. They get suspended for four games. Ovi's been hurt for 10. Tom Wilson is a walking, billboard himself. He scores the first goal of the playoffs, fittingly.
Of course.
Like it just, and then again, Samsonov and Kuznetsov. Not available again. You're like, where the hell are these guys? It's, like, it's just
even
it's
Malkin
crazy.
Not playing. I'm like, what is? It's tough to track everything. Like with so many guys that are in and out, and why they're playing, why they're not. Like it has been the most disjointed.
I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work out, but like I think Washington's really good. But I look at their goalies. I'm like, oh my god, these guys are so young. And then one of them's not there again, and I'm like. Or not again, but he wasn't there. And I'm like, how's this even going to work? Well, they got through one game. Yeah. Now they just push up the next one, right?
Yep.
It's and the fact of Chara, like just all these little great stories. Chara, 100 years in Boston, he plays his first game, against Boston.
Of course.
Like, perfect.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know. I thought the weekend was awesome.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a fun one moving forward. I mean, they set the tone beautifully. I think every game was compelling, and it should continue tonight and into the future, and we'll break it down again tomorrow at 5:05.
Talk to you then, boys. Have a good one.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. Al's Brothers Power Rankings coming up, and I believe we're talking compelling Stanley Cup playoff storylines. I think we're sticking to the Canadian teams as well. So Al's brother, he's going to have to make this compelling, man. He's going to throw some curveballs at us. Yeah. I'm assuming he's in studio too, so watch yourself over there, Jonas. You're going to have someone in there for the first time in a long time. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
La troisième étoile du match ce soir, the third. Are the fire down.
Yeah, there he is, Al's brother. And Al's brother's power rankings are brought to you by Dewar, the world's most comfortable pants. Shop online at Dewar.ca/TO. That's Dewar.ca/TO and use promo code TSN1050 to save 15%. Someone sent me an Instagram DM. Over the weekend, saying, love Al's brother, love his power rankings, and I just bought my second pair of Dewar pants. Loves the pants.
Wow.
So, love it.
Al's brother, man, you can run a 40, you can vert, you can run a 200, you can hammer out a power ranking, and you can sell a pair of pants. How you feeling after Friday's 200 meter?
Not 100%, I can tell you that. Definitely over the weekend, my upper body is a lot more sore than the lower half. I think that's just because of all the movement that I do up top. But, I'm not feeling as bad as I did after the 40. So I think that's progress, right?
I think you're training your body to get back into, the run of things here. Your upper body, you really get moving.
Yeah.
Violent.
Really.
It's a violent stroke. That's what you have. The
my lats just get it. Oh, yeah.
Right.
It hurt. It burns a bit.
I want to see, like, Jonas, you can fly. I bet you Jonas could run it in under 30 seconds.
I don't know, man. The 200?
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Like, yeah. I don't know what Olympic athletes run.
I think the world record's probably like 21 or something, 23 maybe.
In that range, yeah.
You know, something
like 35 that. Seconds for
I
Jonas.
I think 35.
The hair would be flowing, though. Yes. The hair would be flowing, for sure.
You'd have the John McEnroe headband.
No, I get the headband. That's what I use, yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. You'd be motoring.
Short shorts, yeah. Yep. You'd be flying.
All right. Well, what are we doing this week here, Al's brother? I think I may have sold you a little bit short in terms of trying to define the power ranking. So tell us what we're doing today.
Yeah, so we're going outside the box a little bit, outside of the country. We're going to do league-wide top storylines heading into the NHL playoffs, or the most compelling storylines throughout the playoffs. So I decided to kind of leave like COVID aside, because I think everyone could agree that would be right. The number one, right? COVID right. Lurking. So without, you know, COVID itself as being in this list, what else are the compelling storylines throughout the league?
Okay, I like it. Beautiful. Right. This is going to be great. All right, let's get started. What are we doing? 7-1 here again?
Yep.
Okay, start number 7. Most compelling Stanley Cup playoff storylines according to Al's brother.
Well, my 7th one coming in, I've entitled it Parity at its Finest. I think you take a look at the matchups we got going on, incredible parity. Like, these teams are fantastic. All 4 of the games this weekend were all one-goal games, 3 of them going to overtime, and we were a Braden Point moment away from going to overtime again to go 4-for-4. It's got incredible intensity, pace, and the competition is so close. So I think the parity between these teams is really something that I think is a storyline here, something that we don't get to see all that often. And you look at the matchups that are just intriguing in general, right? The Leafs, Habs, they've got that great history. It's being coined as the tax-free tussle. As the Tampa and Florida series, yep. Who's coming out of the East? Who's going to come out of the West? The Central? There's just so much parity in this playoff matchup.
I like it, and I can't sense, really yeah. disagree. Like, you know, there are certainly favorites as of right now. I think Tampa would be one of them, but I wouldn't be shocked if Florida knocked them out. I think the Eastern Division is a complete crapshoot: Pittsburgh, New York, Washington, Boston. I like Colorado and Vegas, but look where Vegas is at right now. I like the Leafs in Edmonton, but there's no guarantees. So I think you're off and running here. I like it at number 7. What do you have at number 6, Al's brother?
I'm thinking, is this the Penguins' final run? That's what's sticking in my mind right here. I take a look at Geno Malkin and Sidney Crosby, Chris Letang. It's kind of their last kick at the can, right? And as a Canadian, you always kind of are intertwined in what's happening with Sidney Crosby. So that's kind of a storyline that's really stuck with me throughout the last little bit. I think at midseason when they had their front office reshuffle, you had Brian Burke in and kind of said, we're going to reassess things throughout the year and see what happens. I think he's got to be happy with what he saw.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, this is an aging team and probably on the decline. So could this be the last chance for them to win it?
Isn't Malkin up after this year and Letang, or is that one more year? I think it's pretty soon.
Actually, it might be. Malkin might be up.
Malkin, I don't believe, is up this year. He wasn't on the free agent list that just got released.
Then he's got
TSN.
One more, I guess?
Yeah, I think he's got at least one more.
I don't disagree with you, Al's brother, though, as far as, like, it feels like with this core and the age and where they're at, like, this could be their last kick at the can. Doesn't mean that they can't retool and, you know, guys like Rusk and, you know, Bluger and Gensel and all of those guys. Like, Kasperi Kapanen with a bullet yesterday. Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw that.
That shot needs to be stopped, doesn't it, Jamie?
Well, it was a bit of a screen. I know that. I know he doesn't play on the Leafs, so you don't have to give him the pom-poms anymore. But, like, I thought it was a bullet post in and, like, off the post and in. But you're right. At that, here's what why I agree with you, Jonas, is that you just scored to go ahead. Like, that's the game. Like, I thought the minute they scored, because it was a bad goal on Jerry that went through the body, I'm like, that's 4-3. Game's over right there. Or 3-3, sorry. Or
yeah, 3-3, and the 4-3 was 3-3. The OT winner.
Yeah, I'm like, that's over right there. Mm-hmm. Like, because the Islanders are just going to blanket the hell out of them. And Kapanen comes right down the next shift and scores off the pole. Like, I was shocked at that.
Okay, so here, we got to get cooking here a little bit. Yeah, number 5, the playoff storylines, courtesy of Al's brother. Go ahead.
McDavid's encore. After posting 105 points in the regular season, what type of encore can he have in the playoffs? I think we're all going to be looking into seeing what he can do as a follow-up to this amazing historical regular season. And it's, what, the second time he's been in the playoffs?
Yep.
So I think McDavid's encore is definitely a big
time. Yeah,
this
would have been higher
line.
For me personally. I think McDavid is still, he's the performer of the playoffs. The performer. He just put together – statistically, era-adjusted, allegedly the best offensive
season
of all time.
You like those adjusted stats, hey?
I saw that over the weekend, that adjusted stats, it's the best thing we've ever
just
seen.
Just going to tweak that here.
I would probably come up with a different formula personally, but it was a remarkable season. I mean, guy has done has just been incredible. It's must-see TV every single night. Every single night. And as great players, there's going to be great series. But for me, what does Connor McDavid do? I think the league needs to be driving that storyline. That should be their priority. What does this guy do come playoff time? Because he's been a blast during the regular season.
I think you also, this may be a little bit recency bias because the Canadian teams haven't played yet. Meanwhile, we've had these other teams play, and we're kind of now all have the eyes on what's going on down south because we're watching these series fall out.
Right.
So maybe the whole McDavid storyline kind of got put a little bit to the wayside because there's just so much other things that we're interested in because they haven't played or won't be playing for a bit.
Won't be playing until Wednesday night. Okay, so you got McDavid at 5. These are the top 7 storylines of the Stanley Cup playoffs. What do you have at number 4?
Big Z versus the Spoked Bees.
Wow.
I think Zdeno Chara going back to Boston.
Ahead of McDavid.
I think this is great. Like I said, I think it also might just be a little bit of recency bias, but still, Zdeno Chara going back to the Garden, I think it's what, game 3 they're going to be going back in a couple of days. I think that's going to be must-see TV. He is going to be on one that night. It's already going to be a physical series as is because it's Boston and Washington, two super intense teams. But once those two get going, and Zdeno Chara, I think, brings that whole physicality to a total another level. So I'm excited to watch that matchup.
And fans in the stands, right? Like, it got announced today, I think, May 29th, like, Fenway's wide open. Now, that's outdoors. I get that. It's different. It's outdoors. But we're a week away from the States basically saying we're not doing this anymore. Like, that's kind of what it feels like. And you're right, because he's been back, but there was no one in the building.
Will they boo him or no?
No way.
I don't think so.
No chance.
No?
I don't see it. I mean, if he's going back to Philly, they would. If he does something stupid, he might.
Yeah, like he was roughing up Pasternak. Like that's the thing. Like I could see him getting a cheer, and then all of a sudden he gives somebody the forearm shiver.
A heel turn.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they said see ya, right, in the summer. So, I mean, it's personal for him, the series.
No, that's going to be a good one. That'll be a good storyline. All right, what do you have at number 3?
Can the Leafs get over the hump, I think, is a massive storyline, especially here within Toronto. But I think they have the easiest path to the cup that they've had in years, possibly ever, right? They just got to get through Canada, and then it's the Final Four. Anything can happen. They haven't won a playoff round in, since 2003, 2004? 2004. And I think this is the best team that we've seen. They've completely rechanged their identity, and they've got a bunch of cup chasers, too, that you just want to root for. You know, you got Jumbo, Spezza, I don't believe Simmons.
The inspiration line.
The inspiration line, exactly. Now you add in Nick Foligno, and like there's just so many fantastic stories here in terms of individual players that you want to root for. So I think the Leafs, can they get over the hump of the playoffs that they haven't been able to do in the past years? And maybe all those tweaks that they've made throughout the course of the year, will that actually work and allow them to go farther?
Yep. I can't argue. I look at it clearly through a different lens. But I think if you were just a hockey fan, period, that's a big storyline. Like, the Leafs have won the division. They've had a great year. They're completely healthy, which almost scares me a little bit in, like, a superstitious way. But they've also got the demons, you know? Like, that, their history still hangs over this team. I know it's different players, different coach, different GM, all that kind of stuff. You gotta win it. You gotta prove that you're different. Just because you were different during the regular season is irrelevant come Thursday night. It's on them to prove it. All right, so we're down to number 2 and number 1. We'll come back and we'll reveal your top 2 storylines of the Stanley Cup playoffs. That is how you tease a segment. That is how you build it up. Is you get down to number 2 and you let Al's brother just take a quick breather. It's like we just ran the 200 and we're gonna run the 40. And finish this bad boy. Wrapping up Al's Brothers Power Rankings. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, so we are continuing with the Power Rankings, courtesy of Al's Brother. We're going through the top storylines of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and we're all the way down to number 2. So we have 2 left here. Al's Brother, you've run off a bunch of storylines that I think a lot of people are certainly thinking themselves. And you've already gone through the Leafs. You've already gone through McDavid. Got through Big Z taking on the Bruins. I'm trying to figure out what's left here for the final 2 power rankings. What do you have at number 2?
And number two, there's so many question marks going on with the goalie position to me. Like, there's whether it's injury concerns with Price and Varlamov, you've got can Cam Talbot and Mike Smith keep it going on their renaissance seasons? There are so many tandems. You got to flip a coin on who's going to start each and every night. I think you guys were talking about it in earlier before you got to Ray. There might only be like three, maybe four goalies who you actually believe in as like the team's clear-cut number one goaltender. And I think that's just like super fascinating when you think about the position and how it's so important.
Oh, it's ultimately going to determine what happens.
Exactly.
Right. It will. Right?
Like
for
the
sure.
Goaltending, like that's it come Thursday night is when everything shakes down. And there's so many different components that have to factor in, of course. Things have to go your way. But Jack Campbell is going to hold the success of this team in his hands in a lot of ways.
100%.
Right? Sure. Like if he's overwhelmed or like that, wait, you talk about an overreaction. Friday morning in this city, if Jack Campbell doesn't play well and they lose, Jonas will be writing articles and we'll be talking about it all day on this station.
Expected goals for sure.
Oh, it'll be going nuts. I mean, that'll be the storyline, right?
Yeah.
That's how thin the margin is, right?
Yeah.
It is, but you need goaltending in the playoffs, and that's the truth. Like, there might be times where the team helps you out and outscores something, but as we see in the playoffs, everything's tighter. And I still believe that is the biggest storyline, and the most amount of pressure is going to be on Jack Campbell coming in, because there's no, you know, no sample size. There's nothing to draw off of. This will be his first playoff start on a team with high expectations, and all eyes will be on him. Then we'll see how he handles it.
Yep. We'll find out come Thursday night and beyond, right? It's not only about the one game.
Like, yeah, no, it's multiple.
You can get to a point where you're going into game seven, and Jack Campbell's, he's your guy at that point.
Exactly.
All right, here we go. It is the ultimate storyline, the number one storyline, according to Al's brother, for the Stanley Cup playoffs. Go ahead, Al's brother. What do you have at number one?
This one's just more of a big-picture storyline, but it's a question that I think we're all going to be having over the course of the next couple of weeks is, what does this Final Four look like? Right? Like, first, in terms of who's going to be in the Final Four, who knows? We already talked about the parity and what the lineups or what the matchups are and the path for each team and how difficult they are. But once they get to the Final Four, where are they going to play? Is the Canadian team going to play in Canada? Are they going to relocate them down to the South? Is there going to be fans allowed in the stands in those games? Are they going to bubble up the Final Four? There are so many questions that I have that have not been answered that I know questions are going to start popping up as time goes on. So this is more of a big picture thing, but I think it's a massive, massive storyline as we go through at the playoffs.
I totally concur. I mean, I think you're looking at reseeding for the first time, I think, ever. Right, where you're going to have a situation where you could have as many as three teams from the East in the conference final and three teams in the West.
Right.
Right? Like, so you could have a situation like that where you're looking at it and you're like, okay, the Lightning, the Bruins, and the Leafs are all in the conference final. Like, that is a possibility.
Yeah.
You know, or you could have Edmonton and Colorado and – you know, whoever it is up the, I guess, Nashville, you know, or whatever. And that would be your conference final. And that's a scenario that could also play out. I think the Canadian angle, I know over the weekend, I believe it was, the NHL issued a statement or came out through the media. They need an answer from the Canadian government. I'm not holding my breath. I think they're going south. I don't think they're playing up here. But you're right. I mean, it is going to be the most unique Final Four we've ever seen based on the way everything can shake out.
And then even, like, the advantage of the American teams having fans in the stands where the Canadian teams haven't played with that.
Right. Do so they bubble up? Like,
exactly.
I don't know if they're going to bubble or not. I don't get the impression like they're going to. The players don't want to. But the Canadian team is going to factor into that because someone's going to be there. You know, that's another thing. You're guaranteed a Canadian team in the Final Four. That's not always guaranteed.
Yep.
Yep. I agree.
You know.
It'll be unique, but, you know, we'll see how it unfolds. I mean, by then, that's going to be what, like, late June, early July.
Yep.
World might look different a little
bit.
It
very well could. Knock on wood. You never know. You just never know these days, Noodles. You never know.
I know.
Good stuff, Al's brother.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy, as always. We'll do it again soon. We'll catch up with you later in the week. Jonas, great seeing you, man.
Thank you, guys.
Enjoy the playoffs. I'm sure we'll catch up with you again real soon. There he is, Jonas Siegel from The Athletic. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We are back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.